episode 243.
So what I got from Chrysler Mercedes are CAD data, which is it's a description of the surface of the vehicle. That was designed at Auburn Hills in Michigan. Instead of doing a model, a mold, and a cast, I went directly to the surface, meaning one-shot deal. So I used this process throughout the model in the shop, and it took us to generate that model 14 days, unheard of, because of the process we used.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hello to the worldwide audience of automotive aftermarket professionals. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to a very special interview. I went to sculptor and car modeler Giuliano Zaccato's home in Detroit, and if you loved the interview on his work with the iconic 64 Ford Mustang, you're going to like this one for so many different reasons. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their website, fmmotorparts.com. Have you found out what you're looking for inside the Remarkable Results Radio podcast? Well, I want to encourage you to explore the content. Now, on the homepage, you'll find a search section, a series filter, and the tag cloud. Each of those features help you narrow down your focus and find subjects and themes that will hit your interest. With over 242 episodes and over 24 Academy lessons at this time, I'm positive you'll find a great interview or lesson that will inspire. Hey, keep in mind how easy it is to listen. Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, and so many other podcast portals. Also, get in on the direct action and download the Remarkable Results Radio podcast app. It's on the iOS or Android app store. Search for Remarkable Results Radio. Install. And then in just a few minutes, you'll have all the episodes right at your fingertips. Get it and enjoy. Whatever digital platform you use to listen, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Now that makes it even easier to get the latest interview to your listening device. Hey, let me take a moment to thank new Facebook friends, Sage Nelson, Tony Slayton, and Ron Dreitzler. And a big high five to new LinkedIn connections, Nelson Grill and Jay Goninen. Easy way to find my social sites is to go to remarkableresults.biz/social. Hey, for this episode with Giuliano Zaccato, you'll find show notes and an extended bio at remarkableresults.biz/E243 and links to his foundation. Okay, you remember episode 172 when I interviewed Giuliano Zaccato and I highlighted his work with the Ford Design Studio on the iconic Ford Mustang? That was podcasting at its best. Warm, honest, sincere, and there was a lot to learn with Giuliano's behind-the-scenes perspective. Well, we kept in touch ever since I met him at Apex 2016. I found out that after he retired from Ford Motor Company, he became a freelancer and landed a few projects with Chrysler. One memorable one is where he was on the team to create a full-scale wind tunnel model of the Chrysler Crossfire in 14 days. As he says it, from math data to test vehicle in 14 days. Well, I went to his home in Detroit to do the interview. What a great host. I felt so welcome. We had espresso and Sambuca. I felt part of the family. It's the Italian way. We not only got the Crossfire story down on tape, we went on to discuss his 85th birthday and his new foundation, the Horse of Destiny Foundation, that he created to help people. Giuliano found out in the spring of 2017 that he has a glioblastoma in his brain. As he says in the interview, he is in the fight of his life. But he's overcome a similar challenge when he was 19 years old, and we cover that in episode 172. I'm so happy to say we had a great and interesting interview. I even took two cameras and recorded a video interview that includes PowerPoints of the Crossfire project. Now you can find the video on my YouTube channel or on the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E243. I know you'll learn a lot and enjoy the incredibly sharp automotive legend, Giuliano Zaccato. Now listen to learn, be curious, and invest your heart into this interview. Here we go. Hey, welcome everyone. I'm at Giuliano Zaccato's studio here at his house in Detroit. And what a great honor to be here. And I'd like to welcome everyone to Giuliano. Hello, Giuliano. How are you?
Hello. We did a great episode, episode 172, and I called it the Mustang Man. Wow. What a great episode. We went from immigration to your overcoming your challenges to, you know, inside the design studio, how you got your job and all the great things you've done around the Mustang. And so I discover that you helped create and build the Chrysler Crossfire. And that's what we're here to talk about, besides a lot of other things. You know, it's my first opportunity to go out and to build a little mini studio in your studio and to hang with you, and to hear all the really great things you have going on. So tell me about the Crossfire project. And the thing I love about the title of it, it said from math data to a drivable test vehicle in 14 days.
Yeah.
To me, who was trying to prove to the world something here?
Well, what we're trying to prove is how quickly could we go from an idea to a drivable vehicle. And I had this opportunity with the Mercedes Chrysler combination at that time.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was not working for Ford Motor Company any longer, but I was working as an independent. And I had the opportunity to bid on generating the Crossfire. The project to do the Crossfire, as I said, was how quickly could we go from an idea to a drivable vehicle. So that opportunity came to me when I bid on the Crossfire. And the assignment was to generate a full-size vehicle, and I did this in Italy. And so the way it started out is that I got the data from the town center in Auburn Hills, and it came from math data, what they call it. You know, it's a mathematical description of the surface. And as mentioned, we did it in 14 days. We used a system that I generated where it bypassed several steps. In other words, I did not have the need to do a mold and a cast. I went directly to the surface for a process that I designed. So we did it in a shop in Italy. As I look at the pictures right now, I just want to talk about how do we create the model for the Crossfire.
Yes, love to know that.
Yeah. So it began at the Auburn Hills Design Center in Michigan.
And that's the picture we're seeing right now, right?
Yeah. Okay. What we're seeing right now are three clay modelers working on a full-size clay model. Initially, the designer comes up with an idea, but the clay modeler also contributes to that idea. So we generated this clay model, and it was the exhibit that's in Detroit at the auto show, and it was felt that, you know, it's a good design. I mean, the design center generated a full-size clay.
And that was on display at the auto show?
No, the clay model then was changed into a fiberglass.
Okay.
That would look exactly the same as you see here, but only fiberglass.
Got it, okay, yeah. Sure.
And it was really liked, you know, at the auto show. So management decided to go further.
So even though you were creating the Crossfire,
mm-hmm.
They weren't 100% sure they wanted to actually build the car?
No. And at the beginning, no, they was just showing an idea.
Okay, I got it.
An idea.
Showing the idea.
Yeah, but I could go back and say that the Mustang, actually, was an inspiration for the Crossfire. Because of the timing involved. They wanted to see how quickly could they generate a drivable vehicle in a shorter time than the Mustang.
Got it. Now, if everyone goes back and listens to the episode you were in with me, 172, let me recall that it took, what, a couple years to do the 64 Mustang? Where is it, a year and a half?
The 64 Mustang was done in 18 months.
18 months.
18 months. And so Chrysler, Mercedes at that time, they were together. Mm-hmm. They felt maybe we can push it a little further, see if we can do it even faster. The initial clay model, this is rather intriguing and interesting, was done in Turin, Italy. And it just happened to be done at the time when we had this tragic event of the 9/11.
Right.
Yes. And at the time, things were kind of nervous to say, if you're an American, be careful how you move around because you don't know. It was suggested that I generate this model and the management of it carefully. I found a place in the Alps of Italy. What I used was a castle called Castello Rosso, which is, means the Red Castle, for security, for my own security. And I manage the model making with another company outside the castle. So what you see there is what we use to be more secure
in doing my
project.
I understand. That seemed to be what was right at that time in our history. Is no one really knew what was going on in the world, so you needed to be sure. Was it not only for your own safety? What was it for trying to keep the project quiet?
Not necessarily. Okay. No, that was not really the problem.
Okay.
I was more of my concern about my own safety.
All right.
At that time.
Okay. So this is a picture. Is this an overview of?
See, this is the castle here. And you can see there where I did my work. If you see on the left side, then we see a pool in there.
Yeah.
Well, around that area, that's where I had my own little castle. And then where I had actually to have a keen, to get in there, a pass.
Okay.
I managed the project right there in the hills of Piedmont. And, we're looking here now. How do we begin the project? So what I got from Chrysler Mercedes are CAD data, which is it's a description of the surface of the vehicle. That was designed at Auburn Hills in Michigan. These are just what they call wireframe, and just, again, another way to describe the surface.
Giuliano, are those sketches or are those computer designs?
No, those are computer designs, and they are actually used to mill or generate the surface. The only thing I got from them was just a mathematical description of the surface, and then I created the rest of it in the shop.
I'm talking with Jonathan Ciccelli, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Now, you're visiting shops every day, so when you put product in the hands of the technicians and service advisors, what are they saying?
Going back to Federal Mogul's long-term presence in the industry, they already know the product. And some of them we don't have to say much about. It's the newer product, the latest innovations that we come out with that just blow people away.
So, Jonathan, you take that brand-new OEX pad and you put it into the hands of a technician. What happens?
They look at it and are kind of speechless for a couple seconds, and they just can't deny that it's an awesome-looking product. And they can't deny that it's going to work fantastic on their vehicles.
Now, another phenomenal product line that is just
one of the most iconic brands in the entire industry is Moog. Now, there's a lot going on with Moog.
The newest thing with Moog is going to be, I think, the most important thing to the shops is a newer design ball joint that we created, and that was off of technicians' responses to a boot design.
That's that compression-loaded ball joint with the pre-installed integral dust boot.
Absolutely. And as soon as I pull that out of a box and show a technician or a shop owner, they just were like, this is amazing.
So, Jonathan, would you say that you're a champion for Federal-Mogul Motor Parts and all the premium products?
Absolutely.
And a champion for all the training?
I'm very big on training. I've always been in training since I've been in the professional field. So just to come back and support on the other end has just been an awesome experience.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com.
The next picture shows my process. What I did here is instead of doing a model, a mold, and a cast, I went directly to the surface, meaning one-shot deal, which meant that it generated the model much quicker and more accurate. So I used this process throughout the model in the shop, and it took us to generate that model 14 days, unheard of, because of the process we used, which helped us, you know, go faster.
In what I'm seeing there, was that a big piece of clay that a machine milled?
It's not clay. It's something that I initiated there. It's called a frozen tooling foam. That was, imagine like a paste, probably 3/4 inch, that's pliable. And it's laid into a structure, like you see there.
I see it, yeah.
It was previously milled. Then this material called tooling foam, it will harden itself by just being exposed to the air. So now you have a surface that describes basically that shape, but that needs now to be put into a milling machine.
Okay.
And so after that, the result that you get is what you see there. And you see that also.
And there's a front bumper done in the same way?
The same way. And that's why we were able to do it so quickly and then assemble it into a full body.
And there is the full body.
This is the full body of the Crossfire. And this solid, you know, outside, but we were able to retain the interior of the car because I'd like to talk about the Crossfire. The Crossfire was a combination of the SLK Mercedes built by Mercedes. Sure. As a, you know, they did a lot of convertibles. And so you were able to open this hard, what we call it, a tooling foam body, and enter the car. I think there's another picture of that.
Let me see. That's where you talk about the SLK Mercedes, really sharp looking. Now, that went into the wind tunnel, right?
That's exactly. Now,
so you have an actual real car here. It wasn't 2x4s and plywood underneath.
No. That's what we were able to do by the method I use. So imagine we had an actual car, you know, that's SLK Mercedes,
sure.
And we stripped it. We took the existing body of that and added on this process, which I used with the called the tooling foam process.
Yeah.
And in effect, after we stripped the original SLK, we were able to replace it with this tooling foam very quickly.
Got it. Yeah, a lot of different angles here. I love the idea that you could get in it and drive it.
Well, this was a drivable. As a matter of fact, We drove this 100 miles an hour, not only for styling, but for measuring the aerodynamics of a car. This car was actually discovered they could do more things that they had predicted for me to do, and that included the stability, soiling. There are many different tests that we do in the wind tunnel, because it's very important, particularly stability and braking. You know, this thing, I believe, was braking 100 very, very quickly. It was, you know, you could brake that car very quickly because of the aerodynamics. So the aerodynamics was excellent for the SLK, mm-hmm. for the Crossfire. So we did some very, very interesting tests for this car.
When you create a model like that and you take it out and you put it to the test, mm-hmm. Did you ever come back and say, we need to make an adjustment here or there?
Yes. Yeah. The other beauty about doing a wind tunnel model with this method that I used is that the surface of this car it was not fiberglass. It had a dimension. Right now, you can see that there's a thickness, and if you hold on to that, there's a thickness to the body. Right. In answer to your question, is that when you are in a wind tunnel, you may want to alter certain shapes of that. And you can only do that if the surface is flexible. In other words, you can rasp it, you can sand it, and then you can alter the shape and to study a better aerodynamics.
So you could actually continue to work the outer shell.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Well, within limits, you know.
Okay. Again, how thick was the outer shell?
We did it about maybe 3 5/8 max, okay. Half an inch. Right. So there was some flexibility which we never had before with fiberglass. We couldn't do it. So what you're looking at now are they called the spoilers? You know.
Yeah. There's another one. There's a closer look at the diffuser, and then here's that wind spoiler you talked about.
Yeah, the wind spoiler also that was done very quickly at the end. As an alternate.
And then here's I think you said this is the temporary lift?
This was the final that came, but it was a different design, I believe. And that's the final one. I think that's the real thing.
Yeah, did I ever tell you a secret? My wife always wanted to buy one of these?
No. Eh?
Always. Loved the Crossfire.
Huh.
And man, when I told her that you had a hand in that.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She was pretty darn excited, but we never did. And so here's another picture, the carbon fiber Crossfire panels. Tell us about that.
Yes. This was a separate test, and it's because for engine cooling.
Okay.
We do that to measure how well the engine will cool. Well, so this time we did it with the carbon fiber. Remember that I was selected that because of the thickness needed for that, you know, under the hood.
It was thinner.
Thinner, yeah, for that.
Okay.
So there was more than one model made.
Got it.
And now we went into the convertible. So
did you guys design the convertible at the same time you were creating everything else, or did that come second?
The models were done separately. You know, they can make two models. One is a hard top, and the other one is a convertible because it got different needs. But in our case, my assignment was to, first of all, generate the coupe and then prepare to generate a convertible. So how did I combine the two to eliminate an extra trip to Stuttgart, Germany. So I designed this way where as I build it, the roof and the lower part of the coupe could be separated in very quickly when I came back to the shop.
Got it. So you began the process knowing you were going to do a ragtop. Exactly. So you had to think about the engineering and the design.
Yes. And then that day, like that, of course, because, you know, it saved some time.
There's another picture.
Yeah. And so that's your convertible right there.
Ready for road testing. Really sharp. And this was all in, was this in Italy or Germany at the time?
This here is in Italy, right here, and it's a town near three of Turin. Yeah, they painted it red because they wanted to have some fun. Then the engineers at in Stuttgart said, thanks, but we need that black for the testing.
You know how to design fun, though.
Yeah, fun.
You know how to design fun. All right, so here's a wind tunnel.
This is the testing that's done, you know, at the wind tunnel to measure this gets a little complicated and technical, and I don't really get involved with that. You know, that's measured by different ways, but that's what happens in the wind tunnel. They put the model in there, and they run all the different tests.
Sure.
And that's the area, that's what it looks like in a wind tunnel setting. You have a vehicle that's fixed in place, and then you run the tests, and you measure all the air the way it goes through the model.
Yeah. Excellent. Next shot. Carmen Ghia, is that where the plant was? Yes. Or the Carmen Ghia plant?
Yeah, Carmen Ghia built the models for originally the convertible for Mercedes.
Okay. Those are some old pictures, great old pictures.
Yes, and it basically was about there. They never changed much except these were old ways of doing it. But Mercedes-Benz hired Carmen Ghia to build their convertibles.
Oh.
And that's where they did the SLK Mercedes.
Got it.
And so this, now we're...
Love this picture. Now, so was that Zambuca in those glasses? What were you drinking?
Oh, no.
I just need to share with our audience that Giuliano and I have actually shared a little Zambuca.
Here we are in Italy, and the project is done. We shipped the models. As a matter of fact, we have one of the engineers in here.
So you got Tony, Bruno, and Franco from UCIF,
mm-hmm.
and of course you
from
your company CI, and then Daimler Chrysler Johans.
Johann Schmidt worked for Daimler Chrysler and Mercedes-Benz, and he was in charge and directing the project from Auburn Hills. You know, that's when I met him. He hired basically for me to be responsible for building the model. And he followed me through back and forth. And so we work in Auburn Hills. We work in, it's a town in Italy. And then, the other one in Stuttgart, you know, so we did it in three places. And at the end, when we shipped the model, now we celebrate it. And I guess maybe we had some Sambuca with them.
Maybe there was. And you know, I just did some math.
Mm-hmm.
You were a young man in that picture.
No.
I'm being generous here.
Thank you.
You were, right, maybe 68, 69? Is it possible? 17 years ago, 16 years ago?
I don't think it was that late.
Incredibly talented. I mean, even to today. By the way, is it the 85th birthday coming up? 85, right?
Yeah. 85, yeah.
Great story on the crossfire. Thank you so much for that. Now, when did you leave Ford?
Left in 88, after 31 years of Ford Motor Company. I still had a lot of energy and a lot of idea, a lot of design that I wanted to explore. I left Ford Motor Company. I mean, retired. I could not do any longer clay modeling because it's done within the studios.
Right.
You know, it's secretive.
Right.
And so I said, well, what is there that I would love to do? Let me look at engineering, because with engineering you have more freedom to explore things which are not tied in exactly with styling. You know, I interviewed with, of all people, Jeep and Truck in Detroit. They were interested in some of my ideas, so I bid on a project to do a wind tunnel for Chrysler at that time. It came to me with the Dodge Ram, you know, the Dodge Ram,
sure.
The new Dodge Ram. And that was rather phenomenal what happened, because I was unknown outside Ford. They were intrigued by my ideas. So the project was to create a full-size model of the Dodge Ram. So they thought, well, you know, he's talking about these ideas. Let him have it, you know. If he fails, we just don't pay him, you know. Well, there were, I think, three or four suppliers that wanted to bid on this, and we bid. So the project was to create a full-size wind tunnel model, you know. And the competition received, like I did, some very preliminary information on the Dodge Ram. And they quoted 3 months to do it from Matt Data from Chrysler. I did it in 3.5 weeks. And that opened everything for me for the following 20 years. I never stopped generating models. After 31 years at Ford, I built, as I said, 30 years, for a total of 50 years. First in design, including, you know, the Mustang and all those models, and then going to the engineering models for it. And that's when I bid on the Crossfire and, you know, the rest of the story on that.
And the rest is history. Now, what a great career, your whole life. And I just encourage all of our listeners to go back and listen to episode 172 and really understand that this man really overcame some incredible challenges when you were young. Now, let me talk about the Chrysler project, the Crossfire project. Did Chrysler give you guys all the room in the world? Were they involved heavily with you? What were any challenges you could share with us?
When you design a new vehicle, in this case, it was like clay model, and you have your challenges, you know, with engineering and all of that, which really I had no part of that. My part came in when I received the data.
Got it.
To materialize that model, the Crossfire, in the way I did it. And by eliminating certain steps and shortening the process. So I didn't find any challenge at all.
Okay.
That I recall. As a matter of fact, I was able to improve certain way to do things. And all, most importantly, by shortening the process. When you do an engineering model, a wind tunnel model, you need to understand the importance of how quickly the model needs to be done, you know, the wind tunnel model. So my process did help that greatly.
Time is money in business world.
But one most important thing is, let's say you want to do a test that will last maybe a month back and forth, you know. But if you find the shortcuts, then you reduce the time to measure the aerodynamics and all was needed for that. The big payoff is that you reduce the time all the way down to manufacturing. the fastest you can do it.
Quicker to market. Yeah.
Quicker to market, yeah, you know. Yeah. And so that was pretty exciting. Then that I, you know, had a part in that, I'm sure, you know.
You know, we, Giuliano and I met in at Apex in Las Vegas last year. And I think within 30 days, we had an episode down. And we've kept in touch.
Oh, yeah.
You look at that jacket. Look at the emblem on the jacket, everyone. Mustang Club of America. You have some lofty goals and ideas of how to spread the word of you being the Mustang man. What has gone on in the last 3 or 4 or 5 months? How many Mustang clubs have you visited? But you've been out there. Remember you calling me from Florida one day saying, I'm down here.
I had an interesting episode there with the Mustang clubs of Naples and Fort Myers.
Right. You know?
And one time the clubs were just one. But then has something happened and they split. And they were not really communicating with one another. This is in Fort Myers, you know. But this period that I'm going through made me think a lot about life and, you know, what it is all about, you know. And then the beauty of being together and communicating. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if the two clubs would get together and have a dinner, you know. So I had someone that made it happen, and they put to bed a tribute to me.
Wow.
And we had a nice dinner, and I had did my talk, and then was a dance. Debbie was there. Debbie, and we had a beautiful evening and celebrating, you know, life.
Right.
And forgetting about the petty stuff of life. Wow. You know?
Great wisdom. Great. Very good. 85th birthday coming up. 85th.
Yeah.
I guess you're planning a pretty big celebration.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why not? When I'm 85, I'm planning my own too. Sure. Absolutely.
Great.
And where are you going and what are you doing?
Before my birthday, Davey and I, in about a week's time now, we're taking a cruise.
I bet you're going to Italy.
And yes, we're flying to Rome and then spend 3 days there. Then we'll go to from Rome, we'll go to the Italian Riviera, Portofino and all of that. When we get back, then we'll have my birthday party, you know. I have Billy Mac and the JJJ. I met Billy Mac one day when he was playing his band, and at that time I had written a song called Mustang Men.
Wouldn't it be really cool if you could sing that song at your birthday?
I'm planning to, yeah.
Oh.
You know, my lifetime now, I mean, I'd never sung in my life, but if I have enough sambuca, maybe.
I just want everyone to know that, I'm just checking the screen. We have had sambuca. We have had espresso. And it has been so much fun. And I know you're going to give me a tour of some of your sculptures here when we're done.
Yeah. Well, okay. I would say that if I look back on my life, when I left Italy at 19, you know, yeah. I encountered several challenges and some pretty tough, but I survived them and kept going. But near it at 85, I've got a real surprise here.
Yeah.
Because it was hard to take.
Right.
Because of all the plans that I have.
I know.
To do, little thing to do. And frankly, well, what happened is that my luck really changed this time in a very drastic manner. Mm. And discovered that I have a tumor, a serious tumor in my brain. You know, it's really affecting me now. And I'm fighting it, and I'm trying to fight it, you know. And already went to 5 different centers, cancer centers in the country. And we're planning to do more, you know, just not sitting around and see if we can, I don't know if they can defeat it, but at least slow it down, that I can still function. As I said before, I mean, you can take my sight away somewhat. I mean, I can still see. I can read. I can write. Driving is iffy. So it's a big chunk out of my life.
Sure.
If it weren't for Debbie, I mean, you know, how it would function.
So tell me about the legacy that you want to leave. Talk to me about the Horse of Destiny Foundation.
So as I you know, wonder about my life now, you know, I'm near 85. The number is important, but I do different quotes. I say different quotes. If you keep the spirit young, you will never die old. That's, I like that quote.
I think you told that to us on in our Mustang episode. Excellent, excellent.
Yeah. So as I ponder about life now,
yeah.
And I said, what is this all about? You know, is it personal gain, financial gain, and but not for me. The biggest gain today is to help people in need. That's my biggest goal. So, with that in mind, then I formed the Horse of Destiny Foundation,
right,
with the intent to help people in need. And I feel that if I can reward other people, I reward myself. That's the basis of it. And with that, you know, I start thinking about a foundation. And then with Debbie, we work together. We work really hard to put together with the attorney, you know, put everything that's necessary for a foundation.
The Horse of Destiny Foundation. I see the web address,
yes.
horseofdestinyfoundation.org.
.org, yes.
And you plan to raise funds to award support to people?
The idea actually is very simple, is to, as we have now, we have a board of directors. They're all volunteers. No one gets paid for anything.
Okay.
We welcome volunteers. Let's say if you would be interested, let's see, to do one project, your project would be, okay, I have someone in need, and I'd like to propose something to the foundation.
Got it.
And that's simple. Then the board will examine it, and then when it says approved, then the rewards will be made to who needs it.
Right.
So it's that simple. Lately, I even thinking deeper than that, where people go to die, you know, the hospice. So I felt, why don't we start there? We get, raise funds for the people that are dying, you know, and the board examines that everything is real, then what a better place to start? To give enjoyment to someone that may be living in just a few days.
Sure, sure.
Do something special for them. That's my goal, and that's Debbie's goal.
And Debbie's been working with you on this. Debbie, why don't you come over and sit in my chair here for a minute, and we'll introduce the world here to you. And I know you're working so hand-in-hand with Giuliano. I'm going to get up and out.
This is Debbie's call. She's part of the board. She's part of the foundation. She's a pivotal part of the foundation. And I would like for her to, you know, say something about how you feel about being on the board.
Well, first of all, I'd like to just tell you that I'm very grateful that I've ever met you and that you're asking me to be involved with your foundation and your life legacy. And I love you.
Okay.
We have created this foundation together now, and we have decided that we're going to enrich ourselves by enriching others. And that's actually the best way for us to go on with life now. As you mentioned, nobody gets paid to serve as a volunteer for the Horse of Destiny Foundation. Once the donations have come in, we'll be able to take applications from people who need help. The main goal now is to gather the donations and the remaining volunteers. We have a volunteer who created the website, horseofdestinyfoundation.org. He was very generous with his time and energy, Edmund Smith. We have to thank him.
The steps that needed to be taken now in the near future is to tell the world about the foundation.
Right.
Tools are there. I believe that Mustang organization that's worldwide, the more Mustang clubs of any other clubs in the world.
Right. The first donation came from Ponies in Paradise Club to our foundation.
Exactly. Yeah, that was great.
And Red Mustang Registry, the Red Mustang Club, is making our foundation their charity of choice for 2018.
Idea now is to begin with the Mustang clubs and use that as the vehicle to broadcast about the foundation, right?
And yes.
We have an event at the Grand Hotel where I will be speaking about the foundation by life. And obviously, I mean, the Mustang, and then talk about the foundation. And I did a similar thing 5 years ago, and so we'll repeat it on the 22nd of July. And there I will take the opportunity to talk about the foundation, and there being, you know, many people that come from different parts of the country. And that, you know, like I said, an opportunity to talk about the foundation. And of course, the other one that's being organized is by an Italian Mustang club. When they heard about my story, they wanted to do an interview. And then they said, even better, why don't we invite as many clubs in Europe to come and visit and give you a tribute in the same town as where I was born. So with that in mind, Debbie and I are going to Italy for a month, and I will have a Mustang, and my Mustang, and then by choice, I want to stay in the river town where I was born. It used to be a larger community, but now it's just the sawmill, and there's another person that lives around there. And I chose to stay there for a month to relive those moments where I grew up in my hometown, to pay tribute to the Mustang. And in exchange, I'm offering them a concert in the vineyards, honoring the Mustang. And at that one point, then I will talk about my foundation. So what I'm trying to do, and Debbie and I, is to make people aware of this foundation. So today, with all the tools that we have available, just think how we can go global and talk about our foundation to help people. You know, we can take advantage of doing this by the tools that we have.
Giuliano, it was so great to be invited into your home to have my second interview with you, to talk about your challenges today, the foundation, your big 85th celebration coming up, and the behind the scenes on the crossfire. Yeah. And not too many people probably realize that you had a hand in that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you. It's been a real gift for having you in my house.
We shared some espresso. We shared some
Sambuca.
And now I'm driving home.
And now we will be sharing life together.
Yes, we will. Thank you so much.
Jim.
Thank you, Giuliano Zagato, for this interview. Visit Giuliano's show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E243, where you can see additional pictures and watch the video of this interview. One thing I can say, Giuliano was very sharp at 85 years young and in great spirit while fighting such a tough medical issue. And thank you for joining us in your support of the podcast. There were some really great things to learn in this episode. If you had one small impact from this, share it with a friend. I'm positive you'll find a treasure trove of wisdom in the archive of more than 243 episodes, plus all the Town Hall Academies. If you got a question or comment, email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. As you know, I'm grateful and thankful for your support.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time,